We are at the tail end of our series on slavery to sonship. We're going to a few more weeks and then we go into Advent full force. But what we've been doing over the past month or more has been re-identifying ourselves, has been changing how we see ourselves as just people, as orphans into heirs, as slaves into sons and daughters. It's a reimagining of who God is, from God as creator and king, yes, but God as father, oh yeah. It's a reshaping of how we see God. And as we do that, then how we interact with him. And so it changes everything about how we work with God. Last week we talked about inheritance. We brought up the scripture that said, as you are now adopted into God's family, everything that God has is yours. The inheritance that God has to give you is yours. And that's one of those things I said that, like, if you know it, if you're living in it, you get it. You're like, oh, yeah, I know what that is, man. Oh, yes. If you don't, it's just like, what? That's just weird. And so what I said at the end of last week, I said the way in which you begin to really experience that, begin to experience the inheritance, is to live into it, is to live as if you are an heir, is to live as a son or a daughter. But saying that, it's like, okay, well, how do you do that? What does it look like to live as a son, as a daughter? What does it look like to live into this new identity, this re-understanding that our validity, that our value, that our worth, that none of that comes from anything here on earth, that it comes from him, that our validity is that we are a child of God, that the fact that we are amazing people is because he created us. If we begin to live this way, what does that look like? How do you do it? You might notice that I have a bracelet on this morning. I didn't have it on at 9:30. And then my son comes in. He might still be in there. I don't think he is. Good, so we can talk about him. So he comes in, and he's like, Dad, you forgot this. Oh, yes, son, I did forget the bracelet you made for me. I'm sorry. Thanks for bringing it to church for me to put on. He got one of those looms, those rainbow looms. Anyone have kids and know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they're nuts about them right now. These, like, they're really, what these things are is they are braces, rubber bands, essentially. And some guy, some dad somewhere goes, I have a great idea, and I'm going to take a lot of other parents' money by doing this. Bam! And creating this new craze thing. So Corbin made one, and he made it red. He made it the colors of Red Sox, which, you know, the Red Sox team, which I was very supportive of. I was like, you tap into who I am, son. But he has his bracelet on, and I have mine on. And he's like, you know, Dad, you know, you got to have this on because we're the same, essentially. He didn't say that, but. So I don't know if you've ever seen Corbin without the beard, really. It's just we are. I mean, he's like this tall and six, but we are the same. Okay. We discovered this thing the other day. He came home the other day and he's like, Dad, look what I can do. And it's this trick that we have that I've done my whole life that no one else in my family can do, but I can do. And he discovered it and he showed it to me. And I went, hey, watch this. And I did it right back to him. He's like, oh, I was like, I know. Right. And here's what it is. Because God gifted us extraordinarily, largely in the ear quota, we can look like monkeys if we pull our ears out and then blow our cheeks up. We just go, yeah. So we have this monkey face that I've been doing for years just to amuse myself. Really, it's in the mirror. Hey, all right, let's go for the day. Every day I do that. When Corbin was born, the first thing I said to him was like, "Oh, son, you got my ears." Literally, that is the first thing I said to my son. As Dr. Vanover hands him, puts him in my, I'm like, buddy, I'm sorry. You got my ears. one day you might grow into them in a way that I have not, you know, and just, but we're just this identicalness. But it goes beyond that, because what he does is we have a few shirts that are identical, a couple of like long sleeve button down and a couple of T-shirts, a couple of different things. I don't know if you've ever been here on a Sunday where I get up in the morning and I get dressed and I leave and they're still doing their thing and they come to 9:30, they go to Sunday school. And then when Corbin comes in at the 11 o'clock service or in between, I'm like, I'm wearing that shirt. You know, he sees what I wear to church and he's like, he goes to his closet and he picks out the stuff that will look like me. The reason he does this, of course, is because he wants to be like Dad. You know, he just wants to be like me. I'm Dad. I'm cool. I'm still at age six. And some of you are like, oh, it's going to end. Not in my house. But he says things that I say. He likes to, you know, say certain things that I say, that do certain things that I do, sit similar ways that I sit. He watches me and he tries to do the same things that I do. Now, that's wonderful and flattering and just so sweet, and it makes you feel, it's also a little scary, you know, because you're like, well, Dad says that. you know, because everything I say isn't necessarily good. But there's that thing there that he wants to be like me, so he dresses like me. So he acts like me. So he talks like me. You know, it's this idea, this understanding that in order to be like me, he just does the things that I do. In order to live into the inheritance, in order to understand what it means to be a son or a daughter, you need to start to do the things that a son or a daughter does. If we want to live into that, if we want to capture our identity truly as a child of God, what we need to do is begin to do what the Son of God does. We need to begin to follow him. When Jesus said to the disciples, come follow me, he wasn't like literally meaning, hey, just get in the line behind me and just follow me wherever I go. Part of it, yes. But what that really meant, when a rabbi was taking students, the goal of the student wasn't to know what the rabbi knew. The goal of the student was to be just like the rabbi. So when Jesus told the disciples, come and follow me, it was like, come and be like me. Know what I know, yes, but do what I do. Be who I am. And we want to be a son of God. Act like the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, Jesus says this, the student is not greater than the teacher. The servant is not greater than the master. The student shares the teacher's fate. The servant shares the master's fate. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, how much more will it happen to you, the members of the household? What Jesus is saying here is that if you are a student of some teacher, it's everything. You share everything. You are just like that teacher. You are intertwined. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you got to be like Jesus Christ. And what did he always do? Pointed to God. Always pointed to God, pointed to the Father. Always. If we want to be like him, we need to begin to live as he lived. I have to tell you, I grew up in the church, the Episcopal church, and I grew up going to Sunday school, and I was an acolyte at one time and in the Smells and Bells services, and that was just great at the Episcopal church, and I got to do all these things, and then I kind of walked away from my faith. When I came back to it after college, at the end of college, after college, and I decided that I really wanted to be a believer, that I was a believer, and I really wanted to be like Jesus. You know what the first thing I did was? got up on stage and preached a sermon. No. No. Even the first sermon I preached years after I'd been a believer in seminary wasn't very good. You think the first, you know what, we're going to preach. Here we go, everybody. No. You don't jump in at step 30. You jump in at step 1. Gracie, as many of you know, my daughter, doesn't talk. She says, she verbalizes things. She speaks Gracie. She has certain words that she can say. I can't remember the amount of words it is right now, 15, 20, somewhere around there. But words that she says a lot, over and over again, which, let's be honest, if you only had 20 words in your holster, you're going to be shooting the same bullet a lot, right? So she says the same thing over and over again. And one of the things she says right now is Billy Bob. I don't know if she like secretly went to Arkansas and met some friends and she met this guy Billy Bob, you know. Maybe it's Bobby Joe now. Maybe she'll change it. But Billy Bob, and she goes, Billy Bob, 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 Billy Bob. This is what we hear a lot at the house. And when you don't know what Billy Bob means, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to her, too, because she's like, seriously, I've told you 500 times now. Why aren't you understanding this? But when she says Billy Bob, it's usually when she's in a good mood. So we know we're cool with that. One of the things that we try to do with Grace is to take what she says and change it very slightly to try to get her to mimic us. We take what she says, Billy Bob, Billy Bob, and I'll go, Billy, 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 Billy. Right back at her. She'll look at me, Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy, Billy, Billy. We do this for what seems like hours. But it's to change something slightly. She's not saying Billy Bob, and I go ecumenicalism. Billy Bob, ecumenicalism. Billy Bob, ecumenicalism. You know, I'm not throwing some gigantic word at her. Silly. You start small. Corbin is one of her greatest teachers. Corbin will sit, he has a lot more patience with this, sit with her and do this over and over and over again. And he's great at getting her to change what she's saying. He'll sit there and she calls him Bubba. Bubba, Bubba. Bubba, that's when she's yelling at you. Bubba, Bubba, Bubba. And he goes, Bubba, Bubba, ball, 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 sliding into that. You start small. You start with something very small. When Jesus is saying, come follow me, he's like, you're not going to be like me right out of the gate. I'm God. Start small. Don't expect greatness out of the gate. Start small. Be like him in small ways. What does that even mean? Right before he says these words about a teacher and the students are going to share the same stuff, this is in a little section where he's sending the disciples out. He's been teaching them. He's been living with them. He's been showing them all of this stuff. And now he's like, okay, here we go. And he says this. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. The first thing he tells us to do is to go and proclaim. You believe in Jesus Christ, don't be afraid to tell people. I'm not saying stand on the corner and shout it and have a little post, you know, a little cardboard sign with it. But I'm saying if it comes up, don't shy away from it. Do not hide the fact that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Announce to the world the gospel message that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived here on earth, that he suffered and died and rose again so that we might experience eternal life. The first thing he says is go. Go and proclaim. And then he says this. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cure those with leprosy. That means so much differently if you put that S in there. And cast out demons. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Do something. Don't just talk about it. Do it. If all I ever did was give Corbin lessons verbally and tell him a certain way to be and a certain way to behave, this is how you should live your life, son. This is how you do it. And I never do it myself. he's going to listen to me for a while, and then he's going to go, but Dad, you don't act this way, so why should I? If all you ever do is talk and never do, people will stop listening. So what he says is, go talk about me. It's okay. But then do something with that. And then he says, give as freely as you have been given. Here we walk into inheritance again. Give as freely as you have been given. This isn't speaking primarily of money. It's speaking about everything you are. Give. If God puts you in a certain place in a certain time, if you're Esther, give everything you have for that moment. God gave you certain gifts and ability like he gave no one else. And he placed you at a certain time, and certain things come around, and God's like, oh man, here we go, Betty. This is it. Let's do it. Give. As freely as God has given to you, give away. And the next thing he says is, don't take any money with you. Don't carry a traveler's bag with extra coat, sandals, or even a walking stick. Trust. Trust that God will provide. Trust that God will be there. Trust that God is good. As you do these things and enter the world, the next section is going to happen. And then he goes on to say, like, but guess what? It's going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough. There are going to be moments where you're drawn in, dragged into court. There are going to be moments where people accuse you of certain things. If people call me Beelzebub, the prince of demons, they're going to do so much worse to you. But then what does he follow up with? But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because God loves you. God knows the number of hairs on your head. He loves you so much. Loves you so intensely. He cares about everything about you. So don't be afraid. As you begin to live more and more into the identity of daughterhood, of sonship, as you begin to live more and more into this identity, know that sometimes it's difficult. I talked about the fact that one of the ways I receive my inheritance is through the hugs I get from my daughter. Jen and I went to see this movie last night called About Time. I think, I don't know if it was its opening weekend or not. It was packed. But if you don't want to hear what I'm going to say, just plug your ears. You know, it may be a spoiler alert, but this guy has the ability to travel through time, but only the time period in which he lives. Once he has kids, he can no longer travel back beyond the birthday of that kid, or that kid will change. It'll still be his child, but because of the circumstances of all these things, the kid will be different. And so once a kid is born, you no longer, unless you really don't like your kid, want to go back before the birthday of that kid. So Jenna and I were talking about this afterwards. We went out to dinner and we were discussing the movie and talking about that little point right there. Or I guess I asked her, would you want that ability, the ability to travel in time? And she goes, no, not even a little. She goes, how about you? I was like, I kind of think I would, you know, that would be really cool. Freak people out. I said, would you want to go back before grace? This is a question we've talked about in the 8 years of her life. What if she was a normal girl? What if we could do the things that normal parents do? What if you could take her to the nail salon and get your toes done and you wouldn't have to hold her there physically because she's kicking around? What if they could stay through a church service like normal kids? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Jesus doesn't say that it's always going to be easy, but what he says is it's going to be beautiful. And there are tough things that we have to encounter as we begin to live as sons and daughters. And sometimes things seem a whole lot tougher than at other times. But at the end of the day, it is His love that carries us through those moments. It is His love that is seen in those moments. It is His love that never stops. The love of God that showers down on His children so greatly that He was willing to give His life for people that detested Him. Think about that. Paul was a Pharisee among Pharisees by his own definition. Paul was this guy who persecuted people who believed in Jesus Christ, who stood over and was the supervisor of one of Jesus' followers' death. But Jesus died so that Paul could have eternal life. Jesus died so that Paul would one day sit next to Him. That's love. That is love that never stops under any circumstance. So here's the thing, really. If you want to be able to talk about your faith in Jesus, if you want to be able to do something about it, if you want to be able to give freely as you have been given to, if you want to be able to trust God, you know where you need to start? You need to start with how He interacts with us. Then you start with love. You need to look at the fact that God loves us so much. How does He interact with me? He loves me. He loves me unconditionally. He loves me so much. Sometimes He's disappointed in me, but His love does not stop. His love is always there. Always there. God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And you know what? He loves you too. If I'm looking at how my Father interacts with you, and I'm supposed to make that how I interact with you, and maybe I need to stop judging you. Maybe I need to stop condemning you. Maybe I need to stop excluding you. Maybe I just need to love you. Daryl. God loves Daryl. He does. He loves him. Daryl's got that floppy red hair. Does it tick anybody else off, like how bouncy it is? It's like, really? And your t-shirts, Daryl? Do you have to wear them that tight to show everybody how much you work out? We know you work out. We know you're like have this physical just like that and put the rest of us to shame. But do you need to wear a medium? You're 6'5". If you've ever been in this truck, he is the most insanely, irritatingly organized person I know. The center console of his truck, you open it up and it's like, I need Advil. Let me look under the A section. Boom, there it is. I need dental floss. Let me look under the D. Oh, no, wait. I put that under F for floss. It's over here. It is so organized. It's like the Container Store threw up in his center console. He told me between services, man, I haven't organized that in months. I'm like, that's because you don't have to, because it's just like there and perfect. And Advil's in the glove compartment, by the way, is what he said. But you know it's going to be there. It's one of those things. You're just like, so, like you open mine. You're like, oh, my gosh. This is horrible. I'm like, just shut it. Nothing's good. Don't let anything out. Sometimes it's hard to love people that are perfect like that, that have this beautiful floppy red hair, that are so athletic and work out, and they're so organized. It's like, gosh, can a fat guy on a couch get a break? You know. But then I know that God loves him. So do I. God loves him, and so I love him. And that's a funny example. I've known him since I was 18. But there are people out there that maybe are a little bit harder to love. There are people out there that think differently than you think. But if God loves them, so should we. There are people out there. Look, we're coming up to Thanksgiving, and many of you are going to go home to those people, right? And you're like, God, seriously, how am I going to love people for 6 days in a row? These people. crazy Aunt Lucy, you know, here she comes. Oh my gosh. If she tells me one more time that story, I think I'm going to end her. But if you love her, so will I. If you love him, so will I. If you love those people, so will I. If we want to begin to be like our Father, if we want to begin to live into this inheritance, the first place to start is love. All you need is love. I'm sorry, it just popped into my head. I couldn't stop it. All you need is love. Hey, Claire, how's it going? Sometimes that's harder than other times, isn't it? For some people, it's harder to do than for others. But if we really want to live this way, this is where we begin. Let us love one another because God first loved us. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the love that you give us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that the love you shower upon us is not because of anything that we've ever done. It's simply because you love us. You created us in your image, all of us in your image. Some of us don't get it. Some of us don't realize it. Some of us have turned our back on it. But your love hasn't stopped. Because of that, Lord, let our love never stop. Let our love stay with you. Let our love grow for those who desperately need to feel your love, Lord. Let us live more into who we are as sons and daughters. More into being like the rabbi, Jesus. More into being like you. We thank you and praise you. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.